Elisa was going home, back to the home she remembered as a child, where she was grounded. It wasn't actually her home, but it had been her summer home, because as long as she was old enough to remember, she spent the summers at the home of her grandparents, who lived on a rambling farm at Myers Lake. She looked out the window of the train. She always rode the train, and she knew every passing town from memory, the excitement building as she got closer to Riverdale, that wonderful town where people care and life is usually fair. As the train pulled into the station, she would always see her grandparents' pickup truck. She would see it before she would see them. There they would be, waiting beside the track with smiling faces, waiting with open arms for her warm embrace. They had their routine, the agenda, as she called it. They would go to Gower's Drugs for lunch, where they would meet Aunt Maud and Uncle Elmer, Aunt Maud always having her large glass of chocolate milk. Then to the candy store, and then to shop at Clark and Harvey with that wonderful pimento cheese. They would put the groceries in the back of the pickup and make their way down the winding road to Myers Lake to the farm, where Grandma would begin preparing supper. It was always supper on the farm, and it was the most delicious food she had ever tasted. "Just plain old country cooking, dear," she would say, but it was the best food that she remembered. She would help her grandmother cook. She tried to teach her how to cook and also to knit and crochet. She never had the patience for that. She would get up early in the morning and go with her grandfather as he would do his chores all around the farm and listen to his sayings. "The early bird gets the worm," he would say. "Never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Well done is better than well said." Her grandmother had sayings, but her favorite was, "It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice." On Sunday mornings, they would go to the little country church where her grandmother taught the children's Sunday school class. Every Sunday, each child was expected to know the memory verse. And for all of the children who knew the verses at the end of the month, they received a handmade snowflake that was crocheted with thread by her grandmother. It was something the children prized. Their church was different than the church she attended in the city. In this church, people said, "Amen." And every now and then, her grandmother would shout, "Glory." They sang gospel music. And her grandfather would pat his foot, keeping time with the music. And at the end of every song, he would say, "Amen." Her grandmother's favorite song was "Beulah Land." And she would always have a heartfelt "Glory" at the end. The best Sunday by far was homecoming, when they would have dinner on the grounds. Grandma would cook for 2 days to get ready. After the service, in which it seemed the sermon would never end, but the children would go out and play, the men would stand around and talk, and the women would shoo the flies away from the table, overflowing with an abundance of food. She remembered one year when the children were playing up in the cemetery, the big cemetery on the hill, when her grandmother walked up after everyone people were on their way home, and she looked at Elisa and said, "You see this? This is where I'm going to be buried, honey. And you see, that's the east. You know why I'm going to be facing the east? Because when Jesus comes at the last trumpet, And the Lord descends. I want to be ready. Lisa didn't know what she was talking about, but she certainly didn't like her grandmother talking about death. Death is a part of life, honey, she would say. And we don't need to worry. Jesus is going to take care of us. That's the way her grandmother was. Not even death seemed to upset her. At night, they would put her to bed, and then it was story time. Her grandfather told the best stories about all the farm animals and the animals in the forest. It seemed that all of these animals talked to her grandfather and told him the most amazing things. Well, I went down to the hen house this morning, and they were telling me, you won't believe what almost happened last night. It seemed that old Wiley Fox was getting ready to raid the hen house. But at the last minute, Henry the Owl came. Henry was the voice of wisdom. And Henry said, Mr. Fox, think and think again about what you are about to do. And Mr. Fox said, I don't have to think. I'm hungry. But think and think again. Because while your hunger will be satisfied, you will become the enemy. We make the road by walking it. Is this the road that you want to travel without any friends? And so Mr. Fox thought about it, and he spared the hen house, and in gratitude, they made scrambled eggs for him to eat. And then the next night, the story was that Mr. Fox was walking in the woods and he fell into a hole. And guess who came to his rescue? His friends, the hens. Grandpa's stories always had happy endings. An old mean fox becomes a friend. The animals care for each other and look out for one another. Everything seemed to be right with the world when you were kind and compassionate, when you were nice. It's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And then Grandpa would go and sit on the front porch, and Grandma would get in bed with Elisa, and she would sing the most beautiful lullabies. And as she drifted off to sleep, with the open window, she would smell the sweet, sweet smell of the lilac bush. There was nothing more soothing or comforting than going to sleep to her grandmother's beautiful voice and the sweet, sweet smell of the lilac, and in the distance, hearing the hooting of the owl who was saying, think and think again in a forest where all of the animals were friends and everything was right with the world. And then she got older. For the first time, she wasn't looking forward to the summer trip to her grandparents. All of her friends were going to all of these exciting places. They were going to the beach. They were going to Disney. Some were going on cruises, some even overseas. But when she told them, I'm going to spend the summer on the farm with my grandparents, they said, that doesn't sound like any fun. As the train was slowing into the station and she saw the pickup truck, for the first time, she felt a twinge of embarrassment. Why don't my grandparents have a nice car like everyone else? They immediately noticed the difference. Rather than running off the train into their arms, her head was down, her shoulders were slumped. She had earphones in her ears from her iPod, which she had to explain that to her grandparents. And she was more interested in texting her friends than spending time with Grandma and Grandpa. She didn't want to help her grandmother cook. She complained that they didn't have cable television. She wanted to sleep late and she wouldn't go with her grandfather around the farm. She told them that she wished they would be quiet in church because they embarrassed her. She wanted the window closed at night and the air conditioner on. And she told her grandmother that she didn't need her to sing her to sleep. She had her own music. That Sunday, she didn't want to go to church. She finally agreed to go, but they compromised and told her that she could sit at the back. And there she sat, texting her friends while her grandmother and grandfather sat in their usual seats, her grandfather saying, "Amen!" And her grandmother, not once but twice, said, "Glory!" The next night, as they gathered for supper, Elisa, already upset because her grandmother told her no texting at the table, "Grandpa said, 'You're not going to believe what happened this morning. There's some excitement in the hen house. I went down to see Daisy May, the milk cow. And Daisy May said, well, there's the strangest looking egg that appeared in the hen house. You know Abigail. Now, Abigail was the oldest and most ornery hen in the hen house. Hadn't laid an egg in who knows when. But she claimed it as her own. And then the egg hatched. And it was the ugliest. It was the strangest looking bird you have ever seen. It was twice as big as those little chicks. But Abigail said, 'This is my chick.' And she started to raise it as a chicken. And then one day, Henry Owl came and said, 'Sister Abigail, think and think again about what you are about to do. Because that little bird, that's not a chicken.' And when he said that, Grandma started to laugh. And she said, 'Grandpa, that's not a chicken. Well, if it's not a chicken, what is it?' And then she said, 'Elisa, what do you think it is?' And Elisa said, 'I think it's foolishness. And I think it's silly. Grandpa, I'm not a little girl anymore. You don't have to tell me all of these stories. Because I know that life doesn't have happy endings. And the animals don't live together like a family. They attack each other and eat and devour each other and kill each other. And that's exactly what people do. But people hold on to their myths and to their superstitions, and they create a false reality. And the stories that you tell me are just like the stories that we hear in church. They're not true. They create a false hope. I'm old enough to think for myself and to think again. And I don't want to hear this foolishness anymore.'" Her grandparents were stunned. But most of all, they were deeply hurt. She realized what she had done and she said, "Well, Grandpa, you can finish the story." But he shook his head and walked out of the room. And that night, she heard her grandmother on the phone talking to her parents. "She's just not happy." And the next day, her father came and took her home. She never returned to the farm except for a Christmas visit. She grew distant from her grandparents. She graduated from high school with honors. They were there at the graduation. And then she went to the university. And after her second year, she decided that she wanted to be a philosophy major because she had been spending a lot of time thinking and thinking again, and she had come to the conclusion that Christianity was nothing more than a series of myths and superstitions that created a false illusion, a false sense of reality, a false hope for ignorant and uneducated people like her grandparents. She adored her philosophy professor, a young professor named Dr. Marx, who had just started teaching at the university. She was so witty and so engaged, and she seemed to have it all together. And Elisa decided that's what she wanted. She wanted to major in philosophy, get her master's and her PhD, and teach philosophy at a great university and be just like Dr. Marx. And one day she discovered that Dr. Marx had actually grown up in Riverdale. But she didn't dare tell her who she was. She was still somewhat ashamed of her grandparents. One night, late at night, her mother called. Her grandmother had a stroke. The next day, she died. The little church was packed for the funeral. And Elisa was shocked when the person who got up to deliver the eulogy was none other than Dr. Marx. I had a Sunday school teacher when I was growing up, the best Sunday school teacher I ever had, who taught me it's nice to be important, but, and the whole congregation finished it, it's more important to be nice. When I was in her Sunday school class, every Sunday we had to learn a Bible verse. And I learned every single one because I couldn't wait to get those beautiful snowflakes. And I hung them from the ceiling of my bedroom. And every night I went to sleep looking at those snowflakes. I have them all in my office at the university today. They keep me grounded. She went on to tell about her mother dying when she was a teenager and how Elisa's grandmother had become like a mother to her. How she could go and talk to her. How she could express her doubts and her fears. I went through a time in my life, she said, when I questioned my Christian faith. And I never will forget that she gave me books by C.S. Lewis. And for the very first time, I learned that you can take an intellectual approach to Christianity. And Elisa remembered that her grandmother had sent her books by C.S. Lewis, but she had never read them. She went on to say, I'm indebted to this wonderful Sunday school teacher who keeps me grounded because, you see, I teach philosophy at a great university. And there's so many of my philosophy students who believe that it is through philosophy and logic and reasonable thought that we can solve all of the problems of life and answer all of the questions. But life is too great of a mystery for that. And that is why I remember the Bible verses that the very best Sunday school teacher I ever had taught me, who also taught me that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And then the choir sang Beulah Land, and the whole congregation shouted, Glory! A few days later, Elisa went to visit Dr. Marx. You see, Elisa, we don't live in the real world here at the university. Your grandparents, they lived in the real world. Do you know that I wouldn't be here today without your grandmother and without your grandfather? Your grandmother became like a mother to me when my mother died. But then when I was in college, I was about to make a foolish decision, an unwise decision. And I went to see your grandmother. And while we were talking, your grandfather came in and he told me a story. You know those stories that he told? Elisa laughed. Those silly stories? Well, they were only silly if you didn't see the deeper meaning. He told me a story that changed my life. It was about a funny-looking egg and that old hen, Abigail. I'm sure he told you that story. He tried to, Elisa said. As the train pulled into the station, she didn't see the pickup, Neither did she see her grandfather. Uncle Elmer and Aunt Maud were there to greet her. And as Uncle Elmer was putting her suitcase in Aunt Maud's car, she said, "Where's the old green pickup truck?" "Well, your grandpa thought you'd enjoy being in a car better." They went to the house. He was so happy to see her. "I can't cook like your grandma," he said. "That's why Aunt Maud came over." And they had a delicious supper. She sat with her grandfather on the front porch, and they talked well into the evening. They talked about life. They talked about her grandmother. She talked about her regrets, her struggle with faith. "Well, it seems to me," her grandfather said, "that, well, I think it's pretty simple. Life is either random or it's not. Your grandmother and I have always believed that there was a divine creator who loves us very much, and he has a plan. And we don't worry about the details. We just try to do what he wants us to do and to fit in that plan. And honey, the reason my stories always have happy endings is because I've always been taught that God is good all the time. And while we can't always see the good, one day we will." "Grandpa, you remember that story that you were trying to tell me about Abigail and the funny-looking bird? Would you finish it?" "Well, honey, the story was like this. You see, there..." No, Grandpa. "Tell it to me like I'm a little girl." "Well, old Henry Al came and said, 'Sister Abigail, that's not a chicken you have there. He doesn't belong here. He can't be confined to this barnyard. That's an eagle. He's destined for greatness. He's destined to fly and to soar off into the sunrise. You can't leave him here.' And so Henry Al took the little eagle, and they went up on top of the barn, and he whispered in his ear, 'You're not a chicken. You're an eagle. Now stretch forth your wings and fly.' And sure enough, for the first time, he stretched forth these growing wings. And he started to fly and to circle the barnyard. But then he saw all of his friends as they were pecking at the chicken feed, and he landed and acted like a chicken again. And so old Henry Al said, 'Think and think again, little eagle.' And he took him on top of Mount Craig. And early the next morning, as the sun was rising, he said to the little eagle, 'You're not a chicken. You're destined for greatness and for glory and to soar. Now stretch forth your wings and fly.' And as the sun was rising and a ray of the sun pierced his eye, he saw a mighty shudder of his wings. And the eagle took off, and he circled once and he circled twice, and then he flew off, destined for greatness and glory." Early the next morning, before the light of day, Elisa awoke and went to the cemetery. And she was sitting by her grandmother's grave when the sun was rising in the east. And she remembered her grandmother's words, "When the trumpet sounds and the Lord descends, I will be facing the east because I want to be ready." And then she looked way off in the distance. It wasn't clear at first, but it got closer and closer. And she saw an eagle. There was a great, glorious, majestic eagle that was circling. And then he turned to the east. And going toward the rising sun, he flew off into God's creation, destined for the greatness of a new day. And Elisha stood and said, "Glory, glory, glory." Amen.